Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
There are many tough and complicated stories we're following, and we're going to get to them later in the show, but we wanted to start today with love.
Dr. King was right. We must discover love. The redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world.
That was the Most Reverend Michael Curry, presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, giving his address at the wedding of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, now the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. And it was only one of many extraordinary moments which highlighted the Duchess's African-American heritage. A black gospel choir singing Stand By Me, a young black cellist, Sheku Kana Mason. And we're joined now by someone who was very instrumental in that wedding, Reverend Bishop Michael Curry. Thank you so much for joining us and for that powerful address.
Hello, how are you?
I just want to start with your impressions of the happy couple and what it was like to give that address with so many people watching.
Well, I can tell you, as you said, the happy couple, that's exactly what I saw and experienced. Two people who were deeply happy and joyful and profoundly in love with each other. And you could see it in their faces, the way they looked at each other, the nonverbal communication between the two of them. It was just obvious. And it became contagious in the physical space there in the room. I mean, their joy and love kind of put smiles on people's faces. And so that makes all the difference in the world. And it really did make a difference.
You started the sermon with the words of Martin Luther King, and you referenced slavery and colonialism in the heart of British aristocracy and former empire. I must say that took a lot of guts.
Well, I took my cue from the royal couple. They selected the scripture passage, the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, from the Hebrew scriptures and the Old Testament. And it's a love poem right there in the Bible. Mm-hmm. In that text, there's the poetry between the man and the woman who are deeply in love with each other. But there's a moment in the 8th chapter toward the end of the book when the woman in particular, for a moment, for several verses in her poetry, actually stops referring to their love for each other and starts talking about a greater love, that you get the sense from the poetry that she sees their love as actually being an outgrowth of a greater love. And so when they selected the text, I realized that that greater love that the woman in the Song of Solomon was talking about was in fact what Jesus of Nazareth was talking about. And Dr. King picked up his cue from Jesus of Nazareth. And so the selection of Dr. King emerged out of that because I realized that that quote, which is not one of the ones that people know all the time, actually said it all. We must discover the power of love, and that's how you make a new world.
That's how you make a new world. That message also mm-hmm. came from you. You've long campaigned for social justice issues here in the United States. You've defended same-sex marriage.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, May 20th, 2018. So I have been told. Long-awaited return of the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. The flood caused so many disruptions with the broadcast and life in general for Gus T. Has taken a while to kind of slowly get things back together in some semblance. We'll still be working on that beyond today, but at least this is one important component. We have listeners in the States and beyond who appreciated this broadcast in particular, the opportunity to hear victims of white supremacy who are in different parts of the world to hear their views, thoughts on racism, white supremacy, get an opportunity to ask some questions. Certainly this weekend, with all of the attention that has been focused on what I have branded the royal tragedy, certainly this weekend, I thought folks might be interested in hearing what some of our listeners who reside in that part of the world, since they're at ground zero for all of this, hearing what their counter-racist perspective is on all of this. Insert cowbell. Thought it would be great timing. The number to dial, 641-715-3640. The code, 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, this is not the typical broadcast. This is 90 minutes, and that is it. So this is not a broadcast to dally. If you have questions, comments that you think you might want to ask or participate in the discussion, go ahead and call in, get a hand up, because we are only doing 90 minutes for the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Before I get to our guests and some of the themes to talk that we want to talk about today, my yoga incident, I have to make sure I get on record. This doesn't even relate to racism directly. I attempted, I'm on the West Coast, so it is a little after noon, Sunday afternoon. I attempted to take my morning AM yoga class, as I have been doing pretty much for the entire year since the flood. I went to go take my yoga class, and a suspected race soldier, she said, "Oh, are you going to," I was about maybe 50 meters, maybe 20 meters, take about that, about 20, 25 meters from the entrance to the studio. She says, "Oh, are you going to take the yoga class?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Well, they had a break-in. Someone broke into the studio, I guess, sometime last night or early this morning, and they've canceled class for the day." And I was like, "Dude, what?" She's like, "Yeah, I was going to take class too. The police are there." I could see the police cars, but I didn't know they were at the yoga studio. She says, "Yeah, the police cars are there and they're doing the report. They've canceled class for the day. It's rough, man." She walks off, and I'm like, wow. That right there. White drug addicts, that's going to be my guess if someone broke in to the yoga studio to do whatever. White opioid addicts are the scourge of the earth, and something has got to be done right now. I am not for treatment. They need to be locked under the jail. If this is going to be the result where you can't even have a reliable Sunday morning yoga because white drug addicts are breaking into the studio, man, concentration camps, new drug war, something has got to be done. Back to context of white supremacy. Our folks for today, I'm actually going to have to work a little bit because I generally try to call our folks that are going to be participating from outside the United States. Today, some of them are ringing in via our line on the Skype line. So I will have to kind of check to see which folks are dialing in, I think, from the States and which people I think are dialing in that might be from outside the States. Let's see. We have Mr. Fox. Are you with us, sir?
Correct.
Greetings. Always grand to have Mr. Fox with us. Longtime investor, supporter in the Cows, operates the YouTube channel that has been super helpful in lots of folks being able to access the content, archives, help a lot of folks even find the Cows just surfing YouTube and finding content that helped them get a better understanding of racism, white supremacy. I am trying to get Jude with us as we speak. One of our victims of white supremacy in Austria. He's been on the broadcast a few times. I've been trying to ring him and having a little bit of difficulty adding him on the line. I'm going to try again right now. I guess just in the interest of preserving time, since we do have Mr. Fox with us while I'm ringing in, your thoughts on, you're at Ground Zero, your thoughts on the Royal tragedy, aka Royal Wedding, that went down over the past weekend, and all of the attention that has been focused on this event?
I would have to say it has been absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. See, the average English person, a lot of people, depends, because if you want to talk to the average white male, they're not really interested in the royal family. But then you have to go by the age and the generation. You say people either between 40s downwards, they don't really care about the royals, but the older generations, they do. But when you talk about women in this country, women like a good wedding, especially a royal wedding, and for black females, and I would say particular black females, this is a magical moment. And it is like a gotcha moment because of a lot of, especially coming from a West Indian background, and for the old so-called colonial past, which Britain have. A lot of us come from the Caribbean islands or West Africa, and the relationship with the royal family is very strong, especially with the grandparents. But there was like a real life kind of royal kind of soap opera with the Diana and her passing and her being kind of prior with the royal family and her wanting to marry someone who wasn't classed as being white by the royal family, her splitting off, her cheating husband, her doing all this kind of charity work, and then she dies in kind of very suspicious circumstances. This now is being seen as the kind of she's winning in the end, kind of, because her offspring is now marrying someone who's classed as, well, there are elements of the black group who will call her black and some will call her, you know, not black, but they see it as, you know, a win for the black group. But a black person is now going to be a part of the royal family. And just to see this and the news coverage on it is very, it's very sickening, but it's, it seems as entertainment. And for the royal family, it's seen as being extra refinement on the royal family actually changing right now. Like they've actually got someone who's classed as non-white, but really is classed as, you know, could be a black person, but at least she's not, you know, the blackest of them. She's someone who's going to be socially accepted, especially within England, where, you know, people are classed as mixed race, as Meghan is, are seen as the kind of the new black person, well, the preferred black person. Well, just the whole coverage on it, it's just been disgusting. I didn't watch the wedding at all. I've just been, you know, seeing parts and posts on social media, but for the actual wedding, I didn't watch it.
I missed all of the watch parties myself, even from this side of the pond. They had a quote in the New York Times today, and it said they were talking about the racial aspect of all of this and what a glorious moment this is. And they said, in a place that is so white, in an institution that is so white, in a country with a with serious race problems, it was a gesture of profound significance, and it was a hugely symbolic moment on a global stage with the potential to change the world's view of the royal family and perhaps even Britain's view of itself. It seems fair to say that never have so many minorities among the congregation, as well, it seems fair to say that never have so many minorities been among the congregation, as well as the clergy and musicians in St. George Chapel at one time before. I'm stopping right there, and I'm even just looking at the language from those couple sentences in this report from the New York Times this morning. Symbolic stage, you generally have plays, theater, something that is not real. We understand that this is something that has been scripted. This is an act that we're watching if it's on a stage, generally speaking. This is the same type of language that I recall when President Obama was elected, and even the audio segment that I began the program with today, it was called Royal Wedding, was filled with symbolism of African American history. Symbolism. One of our listeners, I think Red Nevada, she was wondering if this is comparable, if this is, I think the way it was phrased, if this is the UK's Obama moment. Meaning, metaphor, but meaning the way that President Obama, and like I said, they used a lot of the same type of language, symbolism, the symbolism of the Obama presidency and having a black family in the White House. So much of that was trumpeted for 8 years, and this is making so much progress in how we see the world and how we see black people. Do you think it's comparable to say this is similar to the election of President Obama in the U.S., the Duchess of Sussex now?
I would agree. I probably agree with that because, I would agree with that. And I'm kind of surprised with the article you read that they said we're a country with so much racial problems. Is that what they said?
That is what they said.
In America, they pointed to Americans, to the UK, and said that. I find that very interesting. But I would agree with that because. I can't see there being a black prime minister. I could see there being a prime minister in the future who is who has a white parent or a black parent. I could see that happening. But for a country which has such a high demographic of people who come from a white parent, that it's nothing new, but I can actually see, yeah, this will be seen as, you know, the Obama moment for a lot of black people in this country. But you have to bear in mind within probably, well, you know, we still got the most probable child to come as well. So that's going to be another frenzy going on. And that will probably be coming in the next year's time. So, yeah, I would agree with you.
Context of white supremacy. Do you, your opinion, I'm going to try and ask all of our black people that reside in the UK. Do they think it's possible Meghan Markle could be accepted as white by a significant number of folks? I think that got raised by someone on the compensatory call-in. People haven't seen, or I'm sure you've probably seen her if you have a television or a screen at all. But I think at least one person said she doesn't look like she has too much melanin. She looks kind of pale. I wouldn't be surprised if she's accepted as white by a considerable number of people. What do you think?
Negative. In this country, I tell you, you have to bear in mind the miscegenation has been going on since, you know, we'll say, well, you had the merchant sailors coming in during the early 1900s in places like Liverpool, port cities. But from when you had the influence of people from the West Indies and West Africa after World War II, this is where you saw a huge rise to the point where you have, you know, you can't walk down the street without seeing a person who, you know, looks like a Meghan Markle or someone who is from that background, but looks like she's got a little bit more melanin. But white people are highly trained in this country. They know what a person looks like if they have a white parent and a black parent. So Meghan Markle can't, a white person will look at her and know she's not white over here. Some might accent like, you know, what your background is, but, you know, majority would know. They'll look at her and her hair and her face and know, you know, she could be, they might think you might have some people thinking she's Moroccan, but, you know, some will look at her and go, you know, They'll judge her by the other Meghan Markle's walking around and go, they'll class her as being someone who is mixed race. But she ain't getting on the white team.
Maybe their offspring will have a chance. We'll have to see once that comes out. I'm sure that'll be a huge media event, as you said, about a year from now, what have you. But I think, in my view, important point. I make that error a lot with racial classification, but the racially ambiguous people, that creates a lot of confusion for non-white people, not for race soldiers. It's, as I've said, my observation, exactly what Mr. Fox said, whites tend to be extraordinarily astute at discerning, paying attention, asking questions about your background and whatever else to pick out, oh no, a little touch of the tar brush, you are absolutely not white and behaving accordingly. I'm going to check, just trying to see if I'm trying to figure out which people are perhaps outside the states, so we can add them to the line. The person that called in looks like you're on the vote line. Are you one of our international callers, or are you stateside? Maybe they're just listening. Were you just listening? Seems like they might just be listening. I'll check in again. The number 641-715-3640. The code 5649.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, sir. You one of our stateside listeners outside the states?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that, Gus. Yes, I'm a stateside listener.
Oh, okay. Hang tight, and I will make sure we get your question in. I generally try and give our folks that are calling from outside the states, get their commentary, and then everybody else who dialed in, if they have questions or statements, comments they want to add, we will make time for you as well. We have not had our Global Sunday Talk in so long. Looking forward to getting our normal rhythm back so we can have more participation from the folks outside the states, just to get their views, not just on the quote-unquote royal wedding, but there have been so many things that have happened since we last did the Global Sunday Talk broadcast. That was in November. This is the first one of the 2018 calendar year. There were so many things. I have a whole list of things that I wanted to touch on. I guess I'll ask. This is what I was going to do anyway. Ask the folks that are participating, what are some of the major things that you've paid attention to, like just this calendar year, since we haven't talked to you all in so long? What are some of the major things that have, you know, caught your attention other than the royal tragedy? Mr. Fox?
Oh, sorry. I'm the only one here, aren't I? Wow. I'm trying to think now. Oof. Are you talking about UK or just in general?
In general.
There's been so many things. I think what has, well, I would say, just to pick one, I would say how white women have just been on a roll in the space of, I think, what, the 14 days they've just been just giving me so much material to work with for videos. It's absolutely unbelievable. But it's, I would just say it's something which has always been present, but because with, you know, technology and everyone's got a camera phone, a lot of these incidents are being recorded. Like back in the day when there was no, you know, smartphones with, you know, 9 megabyte, you know, cameras, you couldn't record all this stuff. But with today's technology, people are just, you know, pressing a button on their whatever recordable devices they got, and they're just recording everyone from police officers, you know, race soldiers, white women, racist man, woman and child are being recorded and put on Front Street. But that has been one thing which I've noticed, which is well, in the past, what, 14 days, 2 weeks, and I don't think it's going to let up for now, but that's one thing that could come to mind that can actually stay.
White women specifically, and them being, I guess, violent, aggressive, racist in public spaces against black people?
All the above.
All of the above.
The videos I have seen, I think the latest one I saw where a guy was, the description, video description was he was driving in, I think he was in Las Vegas, he might have been driving in a apartment complex, and he got out his camera and he must have been having this altercation, well, verbal. He was in the car, she was standing up, and she was just shouting out all the buzzwords. You know, he's got a gun, help, help. All the words which will, you know, bring every single, well, Las Vegas is a, I think, is an open carry state. So, you know, if this black male's in a car and he's just white woman shouting all these words like gun and all the other words, which have put many a black town in the early 19th century to a torch. She knows the score. She knows how powerful, you know, a white woman, the picture of a white woman to her actually shouting for help, and you have a black male there, what that can do, especially in the 21st century and what we have seen. So seeing that type of behavior, and the great thing is it's coming from all types of white females. Just talking about white females right now, it was coming from, you know, all types, because we had the one in the Yale University, and so you had her, and then you had the one at the barbecue where she called the police, because you had the black family barbecuing in a barbecue designated area of a park, and she's something like a PhD in, I can't remember what exactly, I think I've got it somewhere, a picture on my hard drive, but she's, you know, she's an educated white woman, you know, coming out and doing their duty, their sworn duty, which has been very, for research purposes, has been great.
Context of white supremacy. I think we have talked about the significance, monumental significance of white women in maintaining, refining, expanding the system of white supremacy. That one of the incidents on the compensatory call-in yesterday, the black mother and her 17-year-old child, they were terrorized in their vehicle. It was a white woman involved in that. They broke out the glass in the vehicle and called them niggers. I think they self-identified as white supremacists and told them, you niggers don't belong in our country. She was with I think it was her son, but they both got arrested. But they got the mugshot of the white woman and white man who participated in this terrorist act. But yeah, I think all of the folks who are focusing on white men as the, in fact, Al Sharpton, victim of white supremacy, Reverend Al Sharpton, they asked him about the royal wedding this past weekend. They asked everybody, and he said that the royal wedding, it represents the last breath of white male supremacy. He has VGQ, victim guarantee, qualified. He can, you know, take whatever stance that he wants to take. I don't have a problem with Al Sharpton. You shouldn't either. But the problem is not white male supremacy. The problem is racist man, racist woman, racist child. Before I get to some of the folks who dialed in, if they have questions or comments, as I said, I had a list. There are so many things that have taken place that I wanted to address from the global perspective. One thing that we have not talked about pretty much at all on the cows, other than me voicing my displeasure and saying that I have not seen Marvel's Black Panther at all, nor do I have any intention to anytime soon. Can you give us, I guess, the perspective from your view in the UK? Like, was that a big phenomenon? Or I guess even more importantly, the question I wanted to know, have white people in your part of the world been as excited, pleased, happy about Black Panther as the sense that I get here, that whites in this part of the world have been really, really thrilled, really, really happy about this movie?
Let me think about that one. I seen the movie, I downloaded it about 2 weeks ago. It is absolute warm garbage water. Absolutely horrible film. White people over here, I don't think they've been too, I don't think many of them actually like the film. I spoke to one person briefly and they just said it was just okay. But I see more of a buzz for the movie in the US more than over here. That's me personally. You might have to ask someone else, Andrew or Jude, basically in Austria, what it might have been like there. But white people, as I've said, I spoke to one white person, and he said it was just okay. Now, I think he might have been looking at it from a different view than, I think he might have just been looking at it from the storyline and how it was comparing to a lot of the other Marvel movies. Because comparing it to the other Marvel movies, it's not that great. But when you actually look at the storyline and what they're trying to place into that actual movie itself, it's warm garbage.
Glad I did not invest my time and energy viewing the product. Now, that is interesting. I am going to put a pin in that to ask other black people in the UK and just around the world in general to ask them to see how white people have responded, to see if they corroborate what you're saying, where you said it seems like there's a bigger buzz about the film here in the States. People were paying attention to it, but it wasn't, this is greatest thing ever and we got to go see this and oh my gosh, historic type of film. The people that are dialing in, if you use the vote line to participate, if you can, like when it gives you the option to put your name in, if you put your country in, that would be great, because then I'd be able to easily pick out the people that are outside the United States, like our caller in South Korea did. Our caller in South Korea, are you with us, sir?
Hello, can I be heard?
Crystal clear. Good to hear from you.
Likewise. It's currently Monday morning, 4:32 a.m. I woke up for the call, so I didn't catch the beginning of the program, but it sounds like you guys are talking about the wedding and Black Panther. So I'll touch on the royal wedding, or as you call it, tragedy first. From here, it seems like a lot of people in the States are really, really excited about this. When I logged on Facebook, I see a lot of family and friends, and they're really excited, like this is going to do something to end the system of racism, white supremacy. I just don't see what's there to be excited about. But like I said, yeah, my family and friends, they watched it and they were very excited about it. I didn't really challenge them on it because I was just trying to minimize conflict with non-white people, so I just didn't engage in any banter or debates about it. Black Panther, when it came out here, there were a lot of black people excited about it, myself included. I thought, hey, maybe this is going to be a great film showing us black people in a positive light, and I was really excited to see it. I went to the movies and I walked out feeling extremely depressed. It's just a movie about black people fighting other black people. I really didn't see the point in it. I can see why white people like it, because it's about a black man who kills another black man, So I can see why they're excited about it. I think that's all I want to talk about for right now. And if you have other questions, just let me know. I'll mute my line.
For sure. Since you're here, I will definitely get my question in about the Trump summit and what have you that they've been discussing for the past few months. I'll bring that up a little later. Again, the number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. About to go to the folks who dialed in if you have questions. Right now we have Mr. Fox in the UK, our caller in South Korea. How did you want us to identify you, sir?
You can call me Kendrick in South Korea.
Kendrick in South Korea. Fantastic. Global Sunday Talk on Racism, and I am super appreciated, super appreciative for you waking up that early. I am a big advocate of black people getting lots of rest. So for you to wake up that early on a Monday morning to participate in the broadcast, wow, thank you kindly. I hope it is worthy of your time and energy. You could have been getting your REM cycle on. I will, let me see, do I want to I'll go ahead and get to some of the folks who dialed in since we are short. I will just mention briefly, I have tremendous respect for that. I think that should be a core part of our counter-racist code anywhere in the world. Minimizing conflict with other non-white people, that is a core aspect of Black self-respect and counter-racism, in my opinion. You do not learn about white supremacy racism to talk down to and get in arguments with other Black people. We could just fast forward and do that without, you know, having to waste time reading any books or anything if that's what we're going to do. You do all this so that you can understand, man, let me try to be a little bit more empathetic, a little bit more patient. At minimum, let me not name, call, and argue with another victim of white supremacy just because we have a different perspective on how things are operating on the plantation. Extremely, extremely important. That's one of the main, if anything, that should be one of the few things that, yes, that's something that I can apply. I can see the logical sense of that. That's it. Folks who dialed in, if you have questions you would like to ask, for right now, Kendrick in South Korea, Mr. Fox in the UK. If you have questions or comments, let's see. Draptomania, we'll get you first. Good to hear from you, ma'am.
Hi, guys. I don't really have a question, but I just wanted to thank Mr. Fox for posting the cows on YouTube. That was the way I was introduced to the cows. I had no idea that the cows existed. If it had not been for Mr. Fox posting the programs on YouTube, I think I might not have ever gotten a chance to find out about the cows, which I might say has helped me in tremendous ways since a little bit of time that I have been listening to the cows. I just wanted to make a comment about can we comment about anything, or is it just specific? I'm not sure what the rules are for this program.
This is more general, so if you have a question or a comment, we didn't really have a set subject that it has to be on. Your volume is a little, I guess, a little loud, so maybe if you could move back away from the microphone a little bit.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Awesome.
Basically, I was going to say about the wedding, I don't really keep up with, I have no interest in royal family at all, but I just found it kind of funny because my next door neighbor, he got married yesterday also, and it was also a tragic arrangement, so, and it was also on Malcolm's birthday, so I just thought that to be kind of funny. And I wanted to say that I ended up buying a cowbell maybe about a month ago. I bought one from Walmart. So I have a big cowbell on my altar. I have a cowboy bell. So it's just a symbolization of, to remind me about counter racism, how to still use counter racist tactics in my life. I wanted to talk about, I ended up signing up for this free anger management class, because due to the captain, you guys talking about how important it is for us to not allow our emotions to run our lives, and I have acknowledged the fact that I have, throughout my life, and like a lot of victims, have allowed my emotions to run me ragged, and being that I saw the class was free, I said, well, why not take advantage of this class? This is going to give me more skills to become more fortified and, become in dealing with racism. So that's basically all I have for right now. Except one thing, or a couple other things, because things have been sticking out for me in regards to what's been going on lately. It's the lynchings. There's been a lot of lynchings in Alabama. There was recently another lynching in Alabama, maybe about a week or two ago, where they found a woman. She was lynched in front of a Walmart, or close to a Walmart in Alabama. That was the second lynching. Outside lynching. The other one was for this gentleman that was found lynched from a bridge with a chain around his neck, and the black woman, she was lynched from a tree with a rope around her neck. And of course, they're saying that it was suicide, like they always say. The establishments that have been throwing us out of their establishments and calling the police, and the new fad of calling the cops on black. And that's all I have. You know, I just want to like to thank you for allowing me to share.
Wowee. Much obliged, Draftomania. I think we started the program with a sincere, robust thanks to Mr. Fox for uploading hours and hours and hours of content to YouTube for the context of white supremacy and getting the archives up. And I think we've had a number of listeners. I forgot how many who've emailed or called in and said, that's how I found the cows, was on YouTube, searching for whatever wacky videos they were looking for, and they bumped into the cows. So again, much obliged for sharing the content. I hope it has been worthy of all the hours of effort in uploading and getting all that content online.
Can I just say but there is two channels, because many people who are signed onto Mr. H. Fox Channel 2 don't know that there was the first channel, which was just called Mr. H. Fox. So there is two channels. The first channel, Mr. H. Fox, has stopped basically uploading either current or archived broadcast due to a copyright strike I received, which meant that I can only upload videos no longer than 15 minutes. And then when that got rescinded, I just decided to this upload kind of compilations, not like full shows, just like kind of, you know, counter-racist compilation videos on the first channel. So all the archive channels and up-to-date kind of broadcasts are on Mr. H. Fox Channel 2, but there's two channels which I upload counter-racist and Cow's Archive material.
We will put both of them on the Facebook page and tweet them. Do you want to give your Twitter address as well? You put a lot of your content up there also.
Yeah, let me just find it, because I really have to give this out. hold on. It is, at the Honorific Fox. That's at THEHONORIFIC and then Fox, FOX.
Spectacular. We will retweet his page on my Twitter feed as well. So folks who follow, you'll be able to easily refollow, tweet, access the content. Again, thanks to Mr. Fox. That is so funny. When I heard Draftomania, when she was saying that she got a cowbell, there are other cows listeners who have purchased a cowbell as a result of the program. We had one cows listener she said, you should get cowbells that have the cow's logo on them, and then you could sell those. That would be so cute. You can make like keychains. I said, you've got to be joking. We certainly did not start out to sell keys, keychains, cowbells, T-shirts, none of that. That's not what the vision was when we started all of this out. But I definitely appreciate the mnemonic to keep counter-racist ideas, suggestions, thoughts, to keep that, to be mindful that that's what we're supposed to be doing. Outstanding. Other folks who dialed in, that's so funny, her neighbor got married on the same day. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, Red in Nevada, the tragic arrangements abound. Red in Nevada, did you have questions, comments that you wanted to share?
Yes, well, thank you for allowing me to speak, and hello to everyone. Definitely appreciate the callers outside the state's callers input. I guess the one question that I had, I know like you had basically touched on the fact of maybe Ms. Markle being possibly like the Obama of the UK, but has anyone actually kind of dissected that whole tragic arrangement for what it is? Because I remember, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Dr. Cornel West during the like Obama years was kind of, people would say that he was harsh on Obama and kind of, I guess, seeing what the symbolism and how this was damaging or damning to black people. And I'm just wondering if anyone has, I guess, of somewhat prominence or what have you, done that same thing over in the UK with Meghan Markle. And also, I wonder how, just any of like the UK or anyone else who's aware of like the UK, if you feel like this may be a way for like the parliament to kind of roll back any potential benefits or supposed benefits that there are laws or what have you that they are trying to enact for non-white people. And that's all I had to share. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Appreciate that, Red in Nevada. Mr. Fox, did you want to handle those?
The first one, I've basically the there's just the excitement that you have, you know, someone, depending on who you will speak to, some people might say she's black. Well, over here, people will look at her, there's not that much confusion of someone who has a white parent. They're not necessarily, you know, designated the black title, but they're seen as being, you know, well, they're one of us. But they, a lot of people, especially women, see it as, you know, one of us is now in the royal one of us is now in the royal family. So that's how they see it over there. Oh, sorry, over here. But there's no, I've not heard anyone coming out with, you know, well, I have seen a couple, you know, headlines on social media, you know, watch out, you know, Meghan, this is the person you are marrying, you know, referring to his past regarding his Nazi uniform attire at a, I don't know if it was fancy dress or Halloween he was at. And there was an incident when he was actually in the army training. I think it could have been at Sandhurst. And I think he might, he said something to another Asian cadet, called him a Paki, which is a racial slur in this, in the UK, short for Pakistan. So a racist slur for a Pakistani person would just be not saying the full name, just calling them a Paki. And that was something, that's a word which has been designated to Asian people. Doesn't matter where they're from, since Asians started to coming over in mass in the, I think, late 40s and 50s. So he referred to one of his comrades in arms as a Paki. And that was on, that was caught on, I don't know if it was either a mobile device, it was caught on a video camera. And I think he might have been holding the video camera. And he called him a Paki. And it was a bit of a, there was a furore about it. And it went away, just like the Nazi uniform went away. So that, you know, I think that rose its head. But, you know, like with all white people who, you know, they say something racist or commit a racist act, it's always, you know, that was years ago, that person's changed. So, you know, it doesn't stick with them. But so it's like, no, I've not seen anything because I've not really been reading much about it. Just, I knew they were engaged and then all of a sudden I'm in work and it's, oh, the wedding. What about the wedding? There's discussions about the wedding in work and, you know, you got obviously the men in the office who don't care and the women who, you know, do care. They just want to see her dress, this, that and the other, the excitement of it. And then people going in about how they don't like the royal family and then, you know, how much revenue the royal family bring in due to tourism. So you've had them discussions, but more than that, no, I've not heard anything. What was the last part of the question? Sorry.
Oh, it's fine. The last part was like with the like Obama years, they kind of used that as a way, racist white supremacists used it as a way to further subjugate black people in the U.S. And I was just wondering if maybe with this whole wedding, is that I'm wondering if maybe like Parliament may try to implement the same thing. And of course, you know, like this is predictive, but just wondering like how much of any influence like the royal family may have on laws, because I feel like I've heard that they really don't have any influence, but then with all the talk of symbolism, is this maybe a way or an excuse for you know, more rolling back of anti-immigration and stuff like that? Because I know I did follow like Brexit And though it seemed like, at least from what I heard from the news over in the U.S., it seemed more along the lines of being people, the people over there being against like immigration and wondering like how that may all play into these new possible new laws or what have you. Thank you. And I'll mute my line.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying now. See, with Obama, it was President Obama, it was, yeah, it was the symbolism of having someone designated as black being in the White House and being the first black president. And then that soothing lotion, you know, that cloud, that deceit. And then all of a sudden, after the 8 years he served, when you sum it up, you know, things didn't change and things got worse. But over here, she's not a politician. And the royal family in this country act as, you know, symbolism. And it's kind of like the fairy tale, because in other countries, well, other countries do have the royal family, but the royal family in England are the most renowned in Europe, I would say. And America doesn't have a royal family. The white people fought many years ago to get rid of that royalist regime, but they're still in love with it now in the 21st century. So I don't know if they were... I can't see, but you never know. I can't see anything else changing and them using this as a opportunity to do something which is going to harm specifically people classified as black. Because they do things a lot more refined over here than they do in the US.
While Mr. Fox was responding, Andrew, one of our other listeners, black listeners in the UK, joined the line so we can repitch our questions and get a different perspective. Andrew, are you with us, sir? Maybe I spoke too soon. Are you there, Andrew? Thought he was on the line for some reason. He's not hearing us. We'll try again. While I'm working to see if we can get Andrew on the line, looks like he should be here, but while we're working to get that resolved, our caller, victim of racism, white supremacy in Dallas, did you have commentary that you wanted to share?
Hello?
Oh, there we got Andrew. That is not our caller in Dallas. That is Andrew in the UK. Good to hear from you, sir.
Good to hear from you. Sorry, I've got this new Skype app on my mobile, so I'm just getting ready to. I'm just getting used to using it. But great to hear your voice, Gus.
Oh, for sure. You too. I've missed all of you all since not been able to do the broadcast with the flood disruption. But we are back and ready to roll. We were asking, of course, we had to ask about the royal wedding since you're at Ground Zero. Royal tragedy, excuse me, since you're at Ground Zero. For all of that, I'm trying to think of some of the main questions that were asked. I think Red in Nevada, do you want to ask your two questions again of Andrew?
Yes, thank you. Hello, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining us. The question, the first, I actually forgot the first question. I was mainly thinking about the second one, so I'll ask the second one first. Do you feel like with the whole royal tragedy, do you feel like that might be a way for Parliament to maybe implement different like non-white or anti-black laws and kind of give them that excuse, kind of how like within the United States, how they did that over here when Obama was in the office and you saw like things did not get better for black people. Cause it seems like with different headlines, how you basically are talking about the symbolism of it. And that's definitely what was happening with Obama. And I still cannot, the first question, it escapes me right now, but
was there an assessment?
Oh, yes. Yes. With also, cause just comparing it to, you know, Obama. I know there were some people who were during Obama's, I guess, years, there were some black people who were kind of a little bit more I guess some people call it critical of Obama. And I'm just wondering if maybe you have seen any of that, where some people may not be as confused about this quote unquote symbolism and how this might play into hurting non-white or black people. And I'll meet my line. Thank you.
Okay, two questions. I'm going to have to learn to mute my line, Gus, because this is a whole new Skype app. So bear with me. Will the government or the powers that be use the royal wedding to covertly or overtly hurt African people in the UK? Definitely. In the sense that, you know, all things are smokescreen, right? So when it, you know, when we look at the concept of racial showcasing, the idea is no matter what's happening covertly, you know, the government will be able to point to the royal wedding and say, well, you know, blacks are making an advancement, you know, things are happening, you know, there's been advances made. Look, you know, the royal family's opened up, you know, things are moving on, you know, white people are becoming less racist. I mean, and the funny thing is, sorry, but I've had talks with UK black African women today that have all said that have all been really happy, you know, or at least the few that I've spoken to, which is only, to be fair, it's only been three, right? But all today, all on the same day, and there's been news reports of a the one that they showed that they revolved anyway on, I think, CNN. Was of a pub, and there was, you know, mainly women in there, white and black women, and all of them, there were scenes of jubilation in this pub celebrating the royal wedding. You know, the point I'm making here is that that was today, definitely. It's gonna be used to say that there's advances made, and to be honest, the three black women I've spoke to, this is what they said. They, you know, they seem to have this hope that because this white man has married this this non-white woman, that somehow it's going to rub off on the rest of us. Somehow things are going to sort of improve. That, you know, he's going to be able to sort of, she's going to be able to sort of talk to him privately, influence his behavior, his decision making, you know, and so somehow get some sort of influences in the corridors of power. So you've got all this sort of strange stuff going on. But yes, the government, I believe, will use it to smokes as a smoke screen against the stuff like the Windrush deceit. I don't know if you know about that over there, or if you've already been speaking about that, because I'm not sure if I've come in late to discuss. It's going to be used to basically hide things, you know, because we're living under a racist government. Everything they do, every step they make is literally about racism. They can't breathe without sort of breathing out some sort of racist hot air, right? So it's about how can we go about our business and keep everybody else asleep. And one way is the basic, you know, why couldn't he marry some, why didn't he choose some black woman in England? You know, he had to go all the way to America to find a non-white woman. You know, the reason why I believe he didn't find a black woman here is because more than likely she would have been Caribbean, West Indian. And that would have been too, that would have been, you know, Harry won. You know, it doesn't make sense. So all of that, all of the above.
I think her other question about this, has there been any critical assessment of this from any, I guess, black people or non-white people over there?
Saying, okay, so I must admit, Gus, I've been, every time I've seen it on television, I've turned it over. I've tried to ignore it as much as possible. I'm not going to lie. I've tried to ignore it. You had football on yesterday, right? So, you know, and I was driving, I was out and about, so I didn't even get a chance to watch the FA Cup, Football Association Cup, Chelsea versus Man United. I didn't even get a chance to watch that. So I tried to watch the highlights of the football on the news, and then the news programs were trying to force the royal wedding down my throat. So, there's not been any critical assessment really that I've seen of race or racism, not that I've seen personally, you know, or taken much notice of. Having said that, and as I said, most of the black people that I've actually spoken to about this, or that have wanted to talk to me about it, more to the point, have been quite happy. You know, I've seen some sort of positives in this, which is just nauseating and strange to me. But I mean, you've had a little bit of critical assessment about it on a radio station called Galaxy Radio, which is a UK-based station run by African people, right? So you've had some critical assessment on that. But, you know, I mean, really, you know, there's not been a lot as far as that I've heard. And as I said, I've tried to stay away from conversations involving those two. But I've just realized today that there's one or two African people that seem to think it's some sort of an advancement. I was having some conversation on WhatsApp, I don't do long texts, I don't do long WhatsApp messages, I don't use Twitter, I don't use Instagram. It's a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. But I said to one person that all it is, I don't know if you've seen that film, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, with Sidney Poitier. I don't know if anyone's seen that, but basically, okay, so Sidney Poitier's doctor is a qualified man, right? And her only qualification is that she's white. And that's it. That's the only qualification she needs, right? In other words, she's a white, in inverted commas, princess. And that's what we have here. You've got this, you know, this accomplished woman of colour, who's, I mean, I've not watched any of her TV programs, but I hear she's been in a whole heap of TV programs in America, and that she's very well known left, right, and center. I mean, I've never heard of her until people told me she'd been on television, all the rest of it, right? So I'm going to make an assumption she's very well known. His qualification is that he's white, is that he's a prince, right? But the point I'm making here is that that's exactly the same qualification that that white girl had in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, that she was white. You could be whatever you want to be, as accomplished as you think you might be, but the only qualification a white person needs is to be white to marry you, right? And that is, and that message needs to get rammed home, right? As far as I'm concerned, right? And this is the whole thing about what some people have said to me today. We've made it. There's been advancements. We're moving up. We're marrying a white person. And it's just wholly wrong. Do you know what I mean? Now, you know, and I say this not as a caveat, but I'll say it. When the system of racism, white supremacy has been brought to a total end and replaced with justice, and you can go out and marry who you want. I'm not against black people marrying white people. Under a system of racism, I'm against it then. You know, and I said to somebody, two people today, I said, ending racism, equality does not begin in bed. It doesn't start in bed. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, people seem to get, sorry, but black people, some black people seem to get angry when you say that. You know, there you go.
Context of white supremacy. Bedroom integration. Royal tragedy. That's what I've been saying the whole time. People that, let's see, the person who dialed in to make sure I do not miss any of our callers. Person 6946, 6946. If you had a question, comment that you wanted to share, you should be with us.
Good afternoon, Gus. Good afternoon to all our callers overseas and here in the States. This is the software developer from Wisconsin. Can you hear me?
Crystal clear. Good to hear from you this Sunday afternoon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. First of all, I just want to reiterate, I know this has been discussed ad nauseum, but I just want to reiterate, thank you, Mr. Fox, for uploading the videos. That was the way I found the cows as well. And also, I've been watching your own videos that you created, and they've been highly constructive as well, so thank you very much. I did have a question about, I know this has also been discussed ad nauseum, the royal tragedy, as Gus has termed it. Do you think, two things, do you think that this is sort of being used in a way as a genetic upgrade for the royal family? And also, do you think that it sends out a signal to other whites that perhaps they need sort of a genetic infusion to continue or to stave off white genetic annihilation?
Interesting question. Let's get our UK guests. We'll start with Mr. Fox.
The last part of that question regarding the genetic upgrade, I think out of all the Northern Europeans, I might have to ask this question. I think Andrew might have to answer this question after, but I think out of all the Northern Europeans in Europe, I think the UK have the most tragic arrangements in Northern Europe. I think after the UK, Holland might be next, but talking about the UK, especially the lower classes regarding people classified as white, you know, you've had many non-white children born from, you know, early 1900s to present day. So these genetic upgrades for them are here and present. So what was the first part of that question again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you see this as a genetic upgrade? And also, do you see this as sort of a signal to other whites across the globe that perhaps they need to take in our genetics to stave off white genetic annihilation?
Whites in general, or do you mean like royal families?
Well, whites in general. I have this theory that the royal family, or quote-unquote royal family, is used as sort of white supremacist idolatry.
You're right, Lovie. I've got it on mute at the moment.
Nope, we're not on mute, Andrew. We're not on mute, Andrew. We are not on mute. We can't hear you.
Okay, apologies.
Yeah, your first part of the question, yeah, I get it now. It's been a lot of the lower classes, though, within these countries where you have, you know, Northern European countries and their old, you know, unrefined practice of racism, white supremacy from their, you know, colonial outposts in the Caribbean, in certain parts of Africa and other parts of the world. When these, you know, there's these so-called subjects have gone home to their, you know, fatherlands, you know, the motherlands, as it was stated in the Caribbean, where we've, you know, a lot of our grandparents come to England because we thought they thought the, you know, the streets were paved with gold, and it was, you know, the crown, the royal crown, the royal family, and, you know, to serve, you know, the royal family and the crown. So you've had a lot of the lower classes, especially mixing with a lot of non-white, black and non-white, well, we'll say due to the immigration, mainly a lot of this tragic arrangements have been through, you know, African Caribbean and Africans coming to, you know, these Northern European countries and mixing and reproducing with what would be classed as the lower classes of white people. So regarding the higher classes upwards of white people reproducing with non-white people, especially black people, the only time this is really done is if this black person is a celebrity. Like, you know, as we will say, most probably higher end footballer or, you know, an actor or something like that. But would I see it as being like a beacon for other white people to do this kind of thing? We've already had one other royal, I think it was the Prince of Monaco, didn't he marry an African woman? And I'm not too sure if he kept his title after that, or was she, I'm not too sure what title she was given. I think he was a prince who married, I think it was a woman from Africa, Monaco, something like that. But how the propaganda is promoted, and as you said, that you've seen my other compilation videos on the first channel, Mr. HVox, you see by the adverts we get in the UK, it's this, you rarely, you don't see, you know, two, you know, identifiable black people in movies or any kind of MTV series or in the media or adverts in general having loving relationships. So, you know, all we see is either black males with white females or vice versa now, where we're seeing white males now with black females, which we've seen a lot, especially like the mixed race kind of family kind of thing, where you see the white husband and the, you know, mixed children with the black female. We've seen a lot of that now. So I don't think Princess Harry's has done something which, you know, a lot of white upper class people have done since, you know, colonial times, where they went and, you know, they had sex with a lot of the enslaved black women, sometimes made them, you know, their favorite concubines and had children with them. So this is what he's done on a bigger stage, where he's actually married someone who's non-white, but the person he's married is someone who's very light in complexion and very acceptable to white people.
Andrew, did you want to field the same question from our caller in Wisconsin?
Yeah, apologies earlier on. So the question is, are white people bolstering up their DNA using black DNA?
Correct.
Okay. Possibly. I've never heard a white person admit to that. I think, though, what is clear is that white people appear to enjoy dating and marrying famous black people. You know, that seems to be evidential. And it seems also to be that if you're black and you have a white partner in England, it seems to be that you're going to sort of go a little bit farther in your chosen career. It seems that way, you know. Whatever the case is, I think Neely Fuller is totally correct when he says that under a system of racism, white supremacy, all these types of relationships are unevenly yoked, to use a Christian expression. In other words, it's a relationship similar to child molestation, where you have one powerful person and one person who has no power. Even if that person who is not powerful can be a man or a woman, you know, I think that's factual in a system of racism, white supremacy. And that's the thing that a lot of non-white people who choose to marry white people don't quite understand. They don't quite understand that concept of being powerless in those types of relationships under a system of racism, white supremacy. And I think really in the nicest possible way that can be explained to our friends and family, you know, because that's a fact. And as was just said by Mr. Fox, there's been instances for a few hundred years in Europe where powerful white people have chosen to have non-black, non-white people hanging around as wives or as concubines or as little playthings. In fact, when you look at European, I studied European art history. When you look at European art history, there's always a little blackie in the painting, in these 17th, 18th century paintings, just sort of hanging around. You know, some of them are children, and that doesn't bode very well, does it? Because you wonder what's going on there, right? And some of them are adults, black adults, right? And they're just hanging around, just hanging about. Queen Charlotte was apparently a black woman who married into the royal family as well, as I understand it. I can't remember the detail. She's got a street named after her somewhere down in Hammersmith in London. Concubines, as was said by Mr. Fox, playthings, fun jokes, you know, this kind of thing.
Sorry, can I just add one more thing? Well, just be like a question. Is it Princess Charlotte? Wasn't she a Meghan Markle anyway? Of her day?
Yeah, That's exactly it. That's exactly the case.
Context of white supremacy. We have about 15 minutes for other folks. If you all have questions, comments that you would like to share. I know our caller in South Korea, I had mentioned the summit, Donald Trump, big news, and all of the talk about nuclear disarmament in North and South, well, North Korea, really. What has been the conversation that you've heard in South Korea in terms of the talks over the last month and the nuclear arms talks that have been going on? What have you heard in your part of South Korea?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Well, I'll start with the meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Moon at the border. A lot of Koreans, they were excited for that meeting because, you know, they've been separated by, for 50 plus years. And I think it's because of white people, the Soviets and the United States. I think, you know, when you look at wars, white people, they're always behind it. So the South Koreans have been really excited about the meeting and the possible disarmament of North Korea's nuclear weapons. I'm not too hopeful for it because, I don't know, I just feel like living here, I've seen how, or just living abroad in general, I've visited 19 plus countries now, and everywhere I go, white people run everything, literally. I just got back from Kenya and Tanzania, and it was just, I just saw so many white people running everything, and I saw black people, able-bodied men sitting on the street doing absolutely nothing. So I don't know how to feel about North Korea's possible nuclear disarmament. It's really up to white people. They can do anything they want. I hope Kim Jong-un has some self-respect and doesn't bow down to these white people, but you never know what he may do. He's a very unpredictable person, so I have no idea, Gus. And also, just to speak to Red's question, I think she asked, could this be a possible cover-up for white people to impose some kind of laws or sanctions against black people and use the cover that the Duchess is white? I would say, yeah, that's definitely a possibility, Red. You saw that with President Obama. Right after President Obama was elected, KKK membership went up. It skyrocketed. But then you would also have white people telling you that America can't be racist because Obama, the president, is black. I've also seen that with white travelers here overseas. Sometimes they try to disguise their racism behind the fact that they are dating a black person or that they work with some NGO in Africa, like I'm supposed to care or suspect them or not suspect them of being a racist. So that's all I have to say at this time. Thank you.
Appreciate that. From an early Monday morning in South Korea, context of white supremacy. Before I get our caller in four, I'll go ahead and get our call in four. Call in four, did you have a comment, question that you wanted to share with our listeners? You should be with us, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I had a question and a comment. My question to the callers from outside of the States, especially with this, I think what the wedding or whatnot, has there been any kind of news reports on, I think the white lady name is Kate, like her showing contempt, the nonverbal contempt, like maybe not her saying anything, like her having a sense of disgust for Meghan, like any kind of, I know they call it tabloids and all like that. Is there any kind of news report showing that?
Let's see. Andrew, you want to handle that one?
to be honest, I really don't know. I don't, you know, I, as I said, I don't read tabloid newspapers at all. I just don't read papers like that. I've not seen very much on television. I've been told that there has been some stuff like that, but I personally haven't read it or seen it because I don't read stuff like that. And I personally can't remember seeing stuff like that on TV. But if I'm really honest, as soon as I see stuff about them, I just switch over. You know, maybe I need to watch it to look for it. But I must admit, every time I get a whiff that they're going to start talking about them too, since I've seen them two on TV, I'll just switch over straight away, you know, because I don't want to know about them. I just don't want to know. But I've just been told by a reliable source, but that there has been stuff like that about her derogatorily, you know, put on TV. But then there would be, wouldn't there? Because, you know, it's you know, Serena Williams, Meghan Markle, you know, any black woman who's going to marry some well-to-do white man, they're going to get critiqued and they're going to be called all the names under the sun. The other thing I would ask is, somebody told me that none of her black family on her mum's side were at the wedding. So I don't know. That's not that I watched it, but that's the bit that I find interesting. But anyway.
Mr. Fox?
Sorry, what was that question again? Was it regarding one of the other members of the royal family who has been known for saying racist statements? Has she said anything? Was that the question?
Yes, I think Kate specifically making any sort of racist or derogatory comments during this whole affair.
Is that woman's name, Kate? She wore the brooch. Did she wear that brooch? The Blackamoor brooch? Is that the lady we're talking about?
I believe that is the person.
That is it. Same as Andrew. I've not really. The only time I would actually see something like that, because I don't really watch much TV. A lot of the either TV I watch is stuff I've downloaded and I watched just before, or either in bed. So I've not seen anything since that brooch incident, really. So I don't know if she's came out and said something, or because the thing is, you get these. She's pretty unrefined for a royal, because you've got a couple of royals who are unrefined, but I think she's the youngest unrefined royal. So I don't think being so close to that event coming up that she would have said anything publicly. A lot of that stuff would have been backstage, which a lot of the jokes and you know, racist comments are being said backstage within that royal household.
I think Meghan Markle, I think her father, they reported he might have had some health issues as to why he didn't attend. I'd have to check reports to see what they had to say about other family members who did not attend the ceremony yesterday. Making sure we do not miss any callers. Imhan DC, did you have a question? Or caller in Florida, did you get your comment in? I know you said you had a question. Did you get your comment in as well?
Just really quickly on that situation with I think her name was Kate Middleton, I believe. From what I've been noticing, it looks as though they are trying to make sure they value the white offspring that she's producing. I think she has already had three already, and I think they definitely are going to put emphasis on that full white family structure, given the tragic arrangement. And I just had one other thing that I noticed. It was about it's a situation over in, I believe it's called Myanmar or something like that. It's a country over in the Asian area. And it's this situation, they were saying that it's ethnic cleansing or something, but it looks to be a non-white conflict of a country. I guess they are called a Buddhist nation, and the people they are, I guess, mistreating are Muslims. And it's a white woman in a tragic arrangement on this article saying that her husband can't even get a visa without the people mistreating him, but she's already in the country. And just one quick thing, she said it was a comment made to him that he was telling someone that his father passed away. And the lady said that it was lucky for him, I guess, because he's a Muslim. But that's all orchestrated by the system of white supremacy. And that's all I have to share. And thanks for allowing me to speak.
Wow, that's... She would be on the other side of the world in a tragic arrangement reporting on all of this.
Gus, sorry. Remember that question you asked me about Black Panther? Can you ask that to Andrew? Because bearing in mind, he does work with children. So if you would, wouldn't mind before the program ends to ask him regarding the Black Panther and how it was perceived over here, please.
Absolutely. Imhan DC, did you want to get your question in? And I will be certain to ask about Black Panther to get Andrew's thoughts. Imhan DC, did you have a comment or question that you wanted to get in, sir?
Yes, sir. I had a question. Greetings to you. Greetings to you there outside of the country also. My question was, has there been any legal conversation about the white people not being the actual royal family, or any conversation about them obtaining their status illegally?
Let's see. Mr. Fox, have you heard anything about that?
So the question was, the royal family as it is now, them getting their status is illegal. Is that the question? Have I heard anything about that?
I don't know exactly how to say that, but I'm trying to say that, is there any conversation about the white people that are called the royal family? Is there any conversation saying that they are legally not the royal family?
That I've never ever heard that that question or the or any person bringing that up, saying that the royal family now in existence is not the true royal family. Out of all this, either scandals or conversations or TV programs you see, it has been either conspiracies regarding Princess Diana and her death. I think one of the Queen's sisters, either her having a child who is illegitimate and was given up to foster care and stuff like that. I've heard different stories, but I never heard about the present royal family being illegitimate. Never heard anything about that. That's new to me.
Yes, thank you.
Andrew?
What, is that a question about the royal family?
Yes, sir. Have you heard reports about them being illegitimate, not the authentic royal family?
I've never heard anything saying that they're not the authentic royal family. But, you know, I mean, if you look at the history of royalty in the UK, you know, I think this family is called Windsor. Yeah. But when you go back in time, you know, you've got the Tudors, you got a king, Oliver Cromwell, 500 years ago, cut the head off of a particular king because the king was apparently a tyrant. And under Oliver Cromwell, he instigated the Houses of Commons. That's where the Houses of Commons came into being. And then for a little while, it was more or less a republic. But they wanted to have a king back again when Cromwell died. So, you know, so at different time periods, you've had all different, you know, you had different royal dynasties, if you like, fight and kill each other and take power for a little while. So, as to whichever dynasty is the authentic one, I don't really care, basically. You know, I really don't, I don't care. You know, I mean, really, they're just all, and, you know, the other side of it is that, when you understand what Cromwell did, you then understand that the royal family, he took away their system power, right, if you like, from the royal family. The royal family, and gave it to the Houses of Commons. In other words, Houses of Commons are the mouthpiece, the political mouthpiece of the royal family. So the royal family are not supposed to make political comments. They do sometimes, but they are not supposed to. They're meant to open parliament. Yeah, that's what they're meant to do. right? They're not meant to make political comments, and understanding that dynamic is quite important to, you know, a thing to understand about how the UK political system works. The royal family are meant to open parliament, and they're meant to say, you're meant to say, and it's called the Houses of Commoners because it's meant to be full of commoners representing the common man, right? But in terms of the dynasty or what's the authentic arm of whatever royal family, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're just all the same.
Appreciate that, Andrew. The caller 0889, last four digits 0889. Did you have a question, comment that you wanted to get in?
Oh, yes, I do. To you and your guests. I was looking at, I guess, reading reports. Have there ever been any instances in Britain when that royal family has ever fought to improve the living conditions of black people in Britain? And have you ever heard of any, because I haven't seen any articles where Prince Harry, you know, he married a Markle, where he's trying to fight to improve the conditions of black people. The only articles that I've seen is for Prince Harry dressing up as a Nazi, and I've heard about somebody else, I think it was Prince Philip, making racist comments about the Aborigines people in Britain. He asked the guy from who was an Aborigines descent, does your people still carry spears? And the other thing, too, is my other question is, if something were to happen to Harry, you know, if Harry ends up divorced, or, you know, if her and Markle don't make it, you know, or if Harry dies, you know, something were to happen, what would happen to, my question is, what was going to happen to his black wife? Are they going to kick her out the palace? And they also, too, show the power dynamic, which really brought it home to me, is when they showed that who's in line for king, and they don't have, and Harry was dead last. And another thing I found really interesting is that his black wife was nowhere to be mentioned, which shows me she's the least powerful person in the in Buckingham Palace. That's my questions and comments.
Appreciate that. Guess, Andrew, did you want to field that? Any fighting for the improvement of black people's quality of life?
Not in England, as far as I know. I mean, somebody else might know something. What I do know, and I don't know this as recent knowledge, but I do know that in the recent history is that he's been the head of some charity that does charity work in Africa. And I know that because a friend of mine, she's a doctor, she was attached to that same charity. I know that. I can't remember the name of the charity. You could probably Google it. I can't remember the name of the charity. But I know that he was attached. He's attached to that charity, possibly because his mum had that affinity herself. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the bit that I do know. Not that I think that's worth anything personally, because, you know, just because you've got a pet interest, that doesn't mean, I mean, it's rich, isn't it? It's very rich, whereby you can go all the way to Africa, right, and mess around with poor black kids there, but you can't do nothing for the black kids in your own country, right? So, you know, that's an easy one. Do you know what I mean? That's an easy one. So that's the point I made to my friend. He's a GP. Sorry, is a pediatrician working for that same charity. You know, it's rich, whereby someone could run all the way to Africa, muck around in Africa, right, and come, but not do the same in the UK. So, but maybe I do not know enough about what he does or what he donates his money to in the UK. I'll put that out there as well. Maybe I don't know. And maybe somebody else knows stuff I don't know.
with all of the hoopla over this past weekend about diversity and inclusion and the rapid changes, symbolic changes that this wedding represents, I think we would have heard lots of detail about that. They would have included that with what a historic moment for the marriage yesterday. We pretty much did our 90, but the question Mr. Fox wanted to make sure that I asked Andrew, I brought up the film Black Panther earlier in the program to just see to see how what the response was outside the United States. So Andrew, your sense specifically, how have whites in your area responded to the film? Have you seen whites who are really excited, pleased about the film, just trying to get a sense of what people outside the States are seeing? Oh, are you with us, Andrew? Not hearing him at all. Hope he didn't hit his mute button. Are you still with us, Andrew?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah, apologies for that. Yes, there's been two responses, really. One response has been no response. You know, literally not to say anything, not a word. Right. I mean, you know, this is white. I mean, you know, really, the only white people I really come into contact with are white people at work. So on the one hand, there's been absolutely no response whatsoever. Right. On the other hand, the response in the media has been to give a line to say, talk about box office receipts, that it's one of the biggest Marvel films of all time. That kind of an angle. I did see one report on TV to say that it's, and they went to a nursery school, you'd call it a kindergarten school. They went to a nursery school and showed a lot of young black toddlers going, you know, going really crazy about, you know, the Black Panther and all the rest of that. And then that was shown on TV. And my memory of that report was that it's been very inspiring for young black children. So there was that. One or two of my black white students said that they've gone to watch it and it's a really good film. Didn't really conversate a lot around the iconographic images and what the Black Panther, so what the Public Enemy poster on the wall meant, and what the what the throwing away of the weave meant, and what some of the African fabrics meant and all the rest of it, and the natural hairstyle, you know, why that's better than a weave, and all of that. They didn't have that conversation. They just said it was a really good film, and that's where the kind of conversation ended. So, I didn't hear nothing negative, but then about the film from white people, but then it would have been a bit pointless coming out of a white mouth, bearing in mind the box office receipts. You can't say a film's rubbish, really, if it's earned loads and loads of money. It's a difficult argument to make.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna. Do you want to hear about the black response, or has that been covered by Mr. Fox?
Let's hear the black response.
So for the most part, everybody's gone completely balmy, bonkers over that film, and don't get me wrong. Personally, I think the film. I see the film in two ways. Myself, I think it showed a lot of possibilities for African people. In the sense that a self-assured group of Africans that are technologically advanced, that do not pander, and where there's been no place for white people in their society. And in fact, they don't even want white people there. Don't want white people there. And don't want white people to speak, because in the film, the other group, there's a group, I don't know, I can't remember what they're called, but there's a group of Africans who, when this white man was in their presence, they shut him up. They didn't let him speak. They didn't let him speak. They didn't want him to talk. right? Now, so I thought all of those things were great. I thought the iconography was great. I thought, you know, the fact that African women were happy to have their own hair was great. I thought all, and it is a celebration of dark skin, the darkest skin. I thought all of that was great. In other words, the pyramid was turned upside down or the right way up, and dark skin was valued, right? Right, and I thought, and that's what we need now. We need to value dark skin. At the moment, it's not that way, and I think we need to turn that pyramid back the right way up and put dark skin at the top of the pyramid, along with natural, real hair, and not just as symbols, but as, you know, this is where we're going, right? That's just what I think, right? The problem with the movie was this, right? I don't know. Actually, I do know. I do know why the black director, needed to have a white goodie in the film, because obviously you've got to give white people a buy-in, a way in. I get that. You want to make, it's that you're trying to make money for a white company. If I was to make the film, or if it was made with black money, right, I would like to think that you wouldn't need to have a white man in the storyline at all, unless it's as a baddie. That's just my thing. Right. So this white character is weaved throughout the whole movie. Right. It allowed white people to see themselves through the eyes of a white goodie. Right. And for me, that was problematic. And the other bit that was problematic was right at the end of the film, when the King of Wakanda was standing, T'Challa was standing up talking to, I think, the UN, saying, "We're going to share our stuff with you." That's just rubbish. To me, it would have been better to stand up in the OAU, Organization of African Unity, and said, "We're going to share our stuff with you." Right. So there's two, you know, so these two things were pandering to a white audience, to the, you know, to make the white audience feel good about themselves. And that for me was massively problematic. I understand why the director had to put it in there, because he had to get money from the studio to make the film. I get that. But it's still problematic. It would have been better if he had done, for African black people anyway, it would have been better if he had done what Melvin Van Peebles done, right, and cast all white people in the position of baddie in the film Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. There are no good people in this film. And there are no good white people in this film. And that's it. Right, it would have been better, and so you got a lot of pluses about the movie, but I think those two films, at the very final analysis, disallow Africans the final victory, and I think that's a big issue. I don't think a lot of black people. I think and for me, I think most African people in this country totally miss those two points. You know, they took all the good bit, but they missed those two points. So subconsciously, there's still a good white person somewhere. I'm not saying there isn't a good white person somewhere. That's not what I'm saying. But the point is, you and I don't know which one's good and which one's bad. So as Muhammad Ali said, you shut the door on all the snakes. You don't know. You know what I mean? As Neelie Fuller said, not all white people are racists, but all racists are white people. So we shouldn't have them in our films. Do you know what I mean? Or at least we should cast them in that light. Do you know what I mean? We don't. You might not be a racist, but we don't know. So we're not going to take any chances. We're going to shut you out. And you know, and that was highly problematic for me with the film. But, you know, I think some of the iconography was great and all the rest of it. It lifted a lot of African people. It made a lot of African people start in the UK, start talking about technology, start talking about, you know, Africa as being good, start talking about Africa in a positive light, start saying that Africa is rising, start bigging up Africa, and not only believing the hype about Africa is rubbish. So from that point, and I've heard black people vernacularize in that direction. So.
Context of white supremacy. Wowee. We did our 90. We will be here next month. It'll be summertime when we're here next month, right next to the solstice for the third Sunday in June. But hopefully we'll have June and some of our other listeners in the UK. We can get their thoughts, not just on Black Panther, but some of what else has transpired over the next 30 days or so. But thankful we were able to get the Global Sunday Talk on Racism back on the air. It's been too long. Very great to hear from all of our listeners outside the States, the ones that were here with us this week, Mr. Fox, Andrew, Kendrick in South Korea. And as I said, hopefully by the time we're back next month, we will have even more of our folks who usually participate in this broadcast. Thanks to all the folks who listened, called in questions, comments. I hope it was worthy of your Sunday afternoon. We should be here on Wednesday, normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can check the Black Talk Radio Network page. You can check the Facebook page for updates, any information. You can drop an email if you have questions, gripes, guest suggestions. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Again, huge thanks to everyone for participating. Loved hearing from everyone outside the States once again. Thanks again to Mr. Fox for uploading the content to YouTube. Years of support in the program. Thanks to Andrew. Good to hear you back on the broadcast, sir. We'll look forward to hearing you again next month. Kendrick in South Korea. Sue, I guess it's close to 6 a.m. By now. Thank you for missing out on some sleep. We appreciate it. Thank you for taking some time out of your schedule to join in on the broadcast. Hopefully we'll hear from you. Hopefully before next month, you participated in a few of our workplace racism broadcasts and some of the other segments as well. So hopefully we'll hear from you before we get to the third Sunday in June. That's it. Again, sobriety would be best anywhere in the world. Racists, they have done a lot of damage to Black people all over the world when we are not able to think correctly and make great decisions because we are under the influence of some of their poisons. Dr. Welsing and many of the other grandcestors that we esteem would strongly encourage us to do everything we can to take care of our brain computers so that we can think clearly and make tremendous decisions, really come up with new concepts to help us bring about a permanent resolution to the problem: racist woman, racist man, racist child. Certainly, if you're in a vehicle, you want to be sober and buckled up. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other Black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you're so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. A victim.
Hey, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.